Our scripture reading this morning is Psalm 47. I want to encourage you to turn to Ephesians, which will be our sermon text. But I thought this passage really helped us to think about who God is in light of who we are as the church. So listen to the words from Psalm 47. Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. We subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with a sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people gather as the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. This is God's word. Before we go to the sermon, let's join together in prayer. O Lord, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart would be pleasing to you. Would you use these words to strengthen and deepen us as your people? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, when we imagined our new series right after Easter, we were excited to jump into a time of reflection and preparation before Pastor Jeremy begins his ministry with us in a few months. And Pastor Dave entitled it, "The Church on Bay and Cutler Road, Who Are We?" We plan to look at who we are as God's people and what it means to be the church where we're situated on the North Shore in the 21st century. Ephesians is a great biblical book for this task. It has a strong message of what Christ has done, who we are as his church, and how he calls us to function as God's people together. That's where we planned our focus. The church is God's people together. And then suddenly there were no more cones running down Bay and Cutler Road. Our world shrank while the distance between us seems to grow daily. We're distant. We're masked. We're hoping for flatter graphs. We're grieving alone. We're glad to see more of our neighbors, but we're wary of people we've known forever. We want to help, but we don't know how. Our hair is getting longer. Our birthday parties are drive-bys with the loving sound of the horn bringing smiles and then tears. We're all homeschoolers, Zooming and FaceTiming our days away. Some of us are working nonstop while others have no work at all. Some feel badly because their simplified lives are better as they enjoy deeper connections with family, while others feel desperately isolated. We lost our proms, our graduations, surgery dates, sports, recitals, performances, weddings, vacations. Some of us are finding greater solace in prayer, while others are facing spiritual questions like never before. I could go on, and I don't know or feel or understand the half of what you're going through. But I can say this: grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Paul prays at the beginning of his letter to the Ephesians. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our circumstances have changed, but if I could climb through that camera to where you are, which would be really strange, but if I could, I would remind you that you have grace and peace through the gospel. I'd want to highlight what you need and what our church needs And that's a clear vision of what Christ has done for us and who we are as his church and how he calls us to function as God's people together. In the coming weeks, you'll hear 7 sketches from Ephesians looking at what it means to be the church in this time and every time. Essentially answering the question, who are we? And this is a crucial question to consider. Because just as we know the church is not a building, it's the people of God, we're recognizing and we're learning that church is also not strictly a physical gathering. So who are we? We'll look at the church as eternal, as purposeful, as mysterious, as powerful, light-filled, grace-centered, and united. And we want to encourage you to write, text, call us about these things because we want to be listening and we want to be learning together what the Holy Spirit is teaching our church at this time. We don't want to miss this moment. And so the first sketch this morning, the first picture as we think about who we are as the church is this. The church is eternal. The church is eternal. Now you may be wondering what eternity has to do with anything. Thinking to yourself, well, I was with you when you were describing what we're going through. But now you're moving on to eternity and I don't really care about that. I need encouragement to make it through right now, today. I just want to say I get it. But one of the gifts of Christian faith is that we're able, and in fact, we're encouraged to lift our eyes to see beyond our present circumstances, to see the greatness of God. The poet and priest Malcolm Giddy writes of poetry, but it applies to faith and to our thinking about the church just as well. This is what he says. The danger that the petty concerns of daily life, the apparent ordinariness of a world taken for granted, should narrow the mind and sink it into triviality. And then he continues, we must have the sense of expansion, of height, of depth, of unrealized potential, of being more and more in touch with invisible realities, glimmering through the visible. This is why we meditate on and look to the mystery of who God is and who we are as his church. The psalmist writes, to you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. We look at scripture to understand all God has done for us and all he's prepared for us so that we can rightly understand and retain faith in the present moment. Look at how Paul talks about the church in Ephesians chapter 1 in verses 3 and 4. He says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Paul begins with praise and blessing to God, our Father who's blessed us through his anointed one, the Christ, the promised one. And he reminds us that we have peace with God through the grace that's extended to us by the death and resurrection of his son Jesus. Right at the beginning, our standing as God's people, our place as his church is a result of God's blessing through Jesus in the gospel. Our worship and our existence as a church depends on what God is and what he's done. Depends on who God is and what he's done. Paul described what we know about God this way in his letter to the Romans. His invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. God is the eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, wise, good, and faithful Father. Who we are as a church depends on who God is, and our God is eternal. The church is God's idea. It says he chose us in him before the foundations of the world. You're not an accident. The First Congregational Church of Hamilton isn't just a nice group of religious people who happen to just get together. No. We're a people God chose from eternity past to be holy and blameless in his presence because of Jesus. Our journey is from death to life, from lost to found, from shelter in security to an eternal home. It's in Jesus that we're transported from our isolation in time and space into the eternal community of faith, the family of God, the church. Christians are transported in at least three ways: our status, our time, and our place. We're transported in our status because formerly we were sinners destined for eternal judgment, but now in Christ we're forgiven and we're adopted into God's family. We're transported in time as we're invited to see beyond our five senses and the limited timeline of our lives into eternity. We realize with Job that this life is but a mist. But in Christ, we're part of the hosts of heaven that will glorify him forever and ever. Starting right now, starting today, starting where you are at. And this elevates each moment from the simplest to the most profound into an opportunity to live as a representative of God's kingdom. Are you ordering your days and your thoughts to be available to what God wants you to do with your time? We're transported in our status, transported in time, and a third way we're transported is in our place. The geography of God's kingdom is unique. We're created body and spirit, and so we're in this place. But as we read in Ephesians, we're also in the realm of God's rule, the heavenly places. The heavenly places, as you look at that throughout Ephesians, are the spiritual place where God is. In Ephesians chapter 6, there are enemies and evils that we struggle against, and God equips us to stand for what is right. So the heavenly places, as they're described here, are not yet a place of bliss and harmony as we understand the coming new heaven and new earth to be. But at the same time, Jesus was victorious at the cross. We just celebrated Easter. He conquered sin and death with his resurrection. He ascended to heaven and is reigning and ruling. So his dominion is our destination. Paul writes about the church with startling imagery about place. In verse 3, he says, we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And just a bit later in verse 20, Jesus sets himself in that same heavenly place. It says that God raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rulers and authorities, power and dominion, and above every name that's named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. Jesus is exalted and he's ruling in that heavenly place now and in the age to come. He gives the church hope. He gives us riches and all the spiritual blessings. Jesus is in command and he's caring for his church. He's the head over us as his body, doing his will, his fullness, the powerful dynamic of his personhood, his character fills us as his church. It fills you. It fills every person who is in the church. There's no place that Christ doesn't fill his church. Finally, look ahead to chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Paul says that God raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Wow. We have every spiritual blessing, and we're seated in the heavenly places with Jesus, while at a later time we'll receive the immeasurable riches of his grace. We'll understand it more. We'll embody it more. It'll be a part of our soul. And so today we're on earth living faithfully as his people. But because we're in Jesus, we're also in the heavenly places. So we're here, but not here. And also, we're there. It reminds me a bit of the service last week. I recorded my portion of the service on Saturday. So like you, I was home with my family for the Easter service. We were praying, singing, watching the exciting children's message when all of a sudden I was hearing myself and watching myself pray. I was in my chair and also on the screen and in your living room. But the technology of heaven is much greater because we're truly one church, present with Christ where he is. We're transported by faith in our status in time and in space into eternity. And when you start to think this way, suddenly the biblical vision of the church and each Christian is much grander than just making it through this day. Your existence was in God's fatherly heart of love from before the creation of the first Adam. Your faith is secured through the work of Jesus. At the cross, Jesus purchased with his life forgiveness of all your sins. He established a place for us in his eternal kingdom. And then he made a way for us to be like him, that fullness. And he gave us his Holy Spirit to empower us to walk in that way. One writer says Paul is writing here in Ephesians to move a community from praising God for the gracious outworking of his plan, from God's preordination before creation, to the outpouring of God's grace and redemption within human history, and then to its final consummation with the bringing of all things together in heaven and on earth at the end of time. Listen, everyone. As we trace out the history of God's work with people, we see the intimate way that he meets individuals. Think about the directions given to Abraham. Leave your home, leave your place, and go where I send you. Think about the voice to Moses at the burning bush. Take off your shoes. This is holy ground. You're meeting with the living God. Think about the whispered call in the night to Samuel. Who is it, Lord? Whatever your story is, God seeking your heart. We see the intimate way that God meets with us as individuals. We also see the calling and the making and the ordering of his people, the descendants of Abraham. And we trace out God's plan of redemption. It's like watching an eternal flash mob. If you don't know what a flash mob is, it's a pre-orchestrated event that usually involves music and choreography in a public space. Think Times Square or Boston Common. People seemingly randomly start dancing and singing and playing music, and more people join in for a wonderful, surprising performance, surprising and unexpected and delighting crowd. Anyway, God's plan of redemption is like watching an eternal flash mob. This is a wonderful and an eternal song and dance that's being performed throughout time, around the world, with the most unlikely participants from every nation and background suddenly being highlighted. You have a part to play each day, and so do I. Our parts work together in hardship and in celebration, to show the beautiful choreography of our Creator. And together, it reveals the beauty of the church. And the amazing mystery that we'll discover in the coming weeks is that God is including us in his gathering. This is the church. It came as a surprise to the Jews and Jesus' own disciples that God so radically opened up the pathway to salvation. all have access through Jesus. And the eternal nature of our existence as God's people travels forward from God's mind through his chosen people of faith to his son Jesus. And then it was enfleshed in the followers who carried his message forward. The birth of the church is one of the most amazing moments in history. And these unlikely people suddenly are filled with God's Spirit and go out with this message that so powerfully shaped and changed that life. And guess what? We're all descendants of those messengers. And we're worshiping today with Christians in homes around the globe, celebrating the good news that Christ has risen. Sin and death are defeated, and our hope is in the Lord. We find that we're not alone, and that our worship and interdependence as God's people is enduring. And this makes all the difference. When we realize our eternal story as God's people motivates us, we're not only united to our eternal God, but to our eternal Christian family. Hebrews 12 reminds us that all who came before us in faith are a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on in our time. It's our moment to shine. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us all lay aside every weight and every sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising that shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Remember when I said earlier that you're not an accident and that our church is not a random bunch of religious people who used to meet together? Don't you see why that can't be true? The eternal God has made you his eternal people. As God's people through the ages are cheering us on to live faithfully in this present moment, even as we're mysteriously with Christ already. There are many people today finding that their wealth and their work and their pastimes, their expertise, their health and safety are slipping away. They're wondering what they have, what they can count on now, and if things will ever return to normal. But you and I don't have to wonder about this, because we're the church. We have every spiritual blessing. We're participants in God's plan. Your faith is something that was prepared, expected, and nurtured through the eons until your new birth in Christ Jesus. And so as the church, we're here, even when we're not at our building. And we're in our living rooms, but we're also there in the heavenly places with Christ. We're here, but not here, and also we're there. This is the amazing conundrum, blessing, and gift of what it means to be the eternal church. The eternal God is building his eternal church. We're the specific ongoing work of our Creator. I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for your heart that worships the Lord, that serves the Lord, that follows him into eternity. And when we think this way, that elevates our everyday. And it elevates our every moment into eternity. Your work, your care for your neighbors, your parenting, your caring for elderly parents. This is the richness beckoning each of us towards eternity, even as we live for and are present with Jesus and the church day by day. And so I want to say at the end of my message what I said at the beginning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's join together and sing that hymn that highlights the huge gift that we have that points us into eternity, Amazing Grace. Thank you.
sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But now I see, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that
that we can continue to worship together virtually, even in this time while we're apart. We encourage you to reach out this week with prayer needs and practical needs. You can reach our pastors by calling the church office, or you're free to send us an email as well. We'd love to hear from you.